I want to continue our series this morning, Hearing God's Voice, because I know the Lord wants to talk to us corporately as a church. One of the Lord's goals for us this year is that we develop in our ability to hear His voice so we can know Him, so we can know His heart, and so we can know His will. Amen. Amen. And then we can partner with Him to walk it out. I don't want to stop with just, wow, man, we did a series and I can hear God's voice. Yay. Hear His voice so we can know Him. So we can know His will and then we can partner with Him for His will to be done and His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. We as a church will give our lives to God's will being done in Eastern Oklahoma County. We may die martyrs, but we won't die of boredom. And we need to continue to pray for each other as a body and as a church family. We need to continue to pray within discovery groups and the different ones that meet together throughout the week. We need to continue to pray and engage in what God is doing and engage in what God is saying. I think there's maybe more than this now, but 148 people that are engaged and have made a decision in the way of just going deeper, fellowship, relationship, connectivity. If we're going to move what God wants us to move, we need to be a family and we need to be a team. We need to work together as one man. Remember the Lord told Gideon, you'll defeat him as one man. God is shaping this house where every one of us have an ongoing, dialoguing relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. He is a living person. He talks to me. He's with me at all times. When I close my eyes, I can see Him. And God is shaping this house where every one of us have an ongoing, dialoguing, you know, two-way communication relationship with Jesus. That every day we love Him. Every day we follow His voice. And we teach others to follow as well. We teach others to follow as well. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. When the tempter came to Jesus, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man doesn't live by bread alone, natural food. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Romans 10:17 adds, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God." Why is it important that we hear our Father speak to us? Why are we doing this series at His instruction? Because His Word brings faith. His Word brings faith. His Word brings trust. His Word brings confidence. His Word brings boldness. His Word brings identity. Amen. Amen. That's what His Word does. Why is it important? We can hear Him talk. We can hear Him get His Word to us because faith, or His Word brings faith and trust and a whole lot of other things that the body of Christ has been lacking in America for a bunch of years. We've lacked faith. We've lacked boldness. We've lacked confidence. And don't get me wrong, there are spirits at work that try to marginalize us, close our mouths, say, tell everybody we're the offensive ones. We're intolerant. God loves everybody. You're intolerant. Hogwash. If we believe that God is a speaking God, and we do, if we believe that His Word is alive and active, right, Paul? Alive and active, and we do. If we believe His Word heals, and we do. If we believe His Word saves, and we do. We need to know the varying ways He gets His Word to us. There's multiple ways He's going to get words, His words, to you. Still small voice? How about spirit to spirit? From His Holy Spirit to your spirit. How about the Scriptures? Can He speak to us through the Scriptures? How about dreams and visions? Remember, if you're a young man, you see visions. If you're an old man, you're dreaming dreams. How about other believers? God can get His Word to us through other believers. So, okay. Jan's voice sounds a lot like Jesus' voice, doesn't it? Through other believers. How about through prophetic words? Aren't you glad the gifts are alive and still here today? Not for the glory of man, but to meet human need. That's why we have the gifts. So prophetic words and then divine thoughts. We have the mind of Christ in our spirit man. So let's talk about the still small voice this morning. This is the first one. We need to know the ways God gets his word to us because it's going to bring faith and confidence and healing and identity and all those things. We need to know his word. We need to know his voice. So number one, how does he speak to us? Still small voice / Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit here in the New Covenant. Now here's your Old Testament version. 1 Kings 19:11-12. We've got Elijah feeling sorry for himself. He thinks he's the only one serving God. And then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire came a still small voice. The Lord was in the still small voice. Amen. Now you need to write this down. I may not say anything more profound than what I'm about to say right here. Are you ready? Wow. One person is ready. One person. Thank you, Patty, for being ready. You need to write this down. The first thing to notice here in this passage is that God was not in earth, wind, and fire. September. You may like it, but God wasn't in it. You remember that. I practiced it all week. I couldn't wait. It's hard for me not to tell people my jokes, but. All right. Although many times we wish our Father's voice was booming and loud and blew our doors off, he usually doesn't come that way. God is spirit. Everybody say God is spirit. So he uses an inner guidance system called the Holy Spirit. That's what he likes to use. An inner guidance system called the Holy Spirit. His voice is not typically coming from outside of you. It's not coming from outer space. It's not even coming from the natural dimension. Why? Because God is spirit and his primary language is spirit. Amen, amen, amen. So many times it's going to come, some translations say it was a gentle whisper versus a still small voice, a gentle whisper, but I still believe it's spirit. And so God will come subtly, a gentle whisper to our spirit from his spirit. How about maybe just an impression, maybe a sense you have, maybe a leading one way or the other. How about a leading to do something or not do something? You may get a leading to say something or not say something. Come on, some of you need to grab a hold of that. Or how about this? You may get a word in your spirit about who you are to him. How much he loves you. He may tell you your identity, your righteousness, your acceptance before him. When human beings hear the Spirit of God speak truth to them, it changes them. You and I can tell people, we can encourage people. Maybe you have a loved one in your family. You're trying to get them to see the truth until they hear it from him. That's when it really sticks. God wants you to trust the still small voice of his spirit. He desires that for Grace Church. He desires that for all of us. We need to trust the inner leading, the inner whisper that you get. When you husbands want to be mad at your wife and you hear the still small voice from within say, isn't she lovely? You need to heed that voice. You want to be mad. You want to be mad, but you hear that gentle whisper, isn't she beautiful? I made her just for you. When you hear, don't treat what I've given you as a blessing like a burden. When you hear that, you need to acknowledge that voice. That happened to one of our elders. One of our elders was so upset with his wife. He was wanting to tear into her. He was so mad. And then he heard in his spirit, Isn't she lovely? Totally disarmed him. Right? Remember all those times that she's cooked for you? Remember all those times where she's cleaned up after you? Totally disarms him. Amen. It's all about perspective. How about this one? You need to acknowledge when you hear the Holy Spirit say, what good is being mad at her going to really do? Amen. I was getting ready to do a series on prayer back in 2011 over at the old building. And I was in a prayer room and I was a little bit anxious. And I'm like, man, Lord, you know, I want this to be so good. And I pray that it comes out right. I pray they get it and all that. Just a little bit anxious. And I heard his still small voice. I heard his spirit whisper to my spirit. Are you ready? He said, Steve, what you have to say is really not that important. Now that'll disarm you. He said, how about this? How about instead of you preparing this great series and message in your mind, how about you prepare your heart for me to use today? Come on, amen. How about you have a heart to help somebody? Go ahead and give God praise. I know you want to. Prepare your heart, and when the time comes for the word to come forth, I'll use you. Well, I'm like, Lord, I can do that. I mean, I can be available. I was trying to preach a great message. I don't need that. I need you. I need to be available. Amen. You got to trust that still small voice and leading on the inside of you. Leela Robinson, man, I miss her. Leela was here in the early years when we first started with us for several years and ran sound for us most of the time over at the other building. She passed away of kidney failure a handful of years ago. But Leela, what a wonderful saint. And I was doing a series on forgiveness, and she had already started arguing with the Lord. She had had quite a experience with her ex-husband. She in no way had any plans to ever forgive that man. So I'm doing a series on forgiveness, and she's already telling the Lord, I'm not forgiving him, I'm not forgiving him, I'm not forgiving him. And then the Lord spoke to her. This is so good. He whispered to her. Where? Audibly? No, in her spirit. He said, I'm not asking you to forgive him, Leela. I want you to ask him if he'll forgive you for hating him for 5 years. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. You talk about a transforming word. And so sure enough, she argued, she fought it for a little bit, but sure enough, she called him and asked him, would you please forgive me because I have been wrong in my heart towards you. How many of you know we need to walk this out? We can't just be Christian in name. Wow. They both cried. He apologized as well. That's the way it ought to be. What am I saying? I'm saying trust God's leading. Trust the inner work of the Holy Spirit. We can't look outside of us or outer space or wherever. He's in you. He's going to speak to you by the Holy Spirit to your spirit. Well, what if I get an impression to call somebody? What if I get a leading, you know, check on somebody, but I'm not sure if that's God? Stop what you're doing and ask him. Stop, ask, and listen. 1, 2, 3. Write it down. 1, 2, 3. Stop, ask, and listen. Holy Spirit is a primary way that God talks to his people. Look at John 14:16. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you. Forever, the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive. Why? Because it can't see him. They're carnal. They're locked into what they see and feel in the natural realm. They can't see the Holy Spirit. This is how we're different. We're a people of the Spirit. God talks to us spirit to spirit. That's how we're different. It can't see him, so it doesn't know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you now. Jesus is saying, because he's in me. He's telling the disciples, he's dwelling with you now. The spirit that I'm talking about is in me. And he will be where? In you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Literally, he says, I'm not leaving you fatherless. I have a father. I'm going to give you the same one. How's he going to do it? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. I love that Jesus said here, Gabe, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you fatherless. I will come to you. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Is his ministry still going on today in the earth? There's only one ministry on the planet in Christendom. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yet he's not here in physical form in the carpenter suit. He's here in this body. Even greater works you will do, because I'm going to go to the Father and send the Father's Spirit to you. We're going to multiply, right? 1 Corinthians says, had the enemies of God known what was happening at the cross, they'd have never crucified him, because God was getting ready to multiply a seed. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody give him praise this morning for a multiplied seed. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12, New Living Translation. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things. Did you see that? Everybody wants to quote verse 9 and be like, well, we just can't understand it. We just can't get it. Well, read verse 10. He said he's telling you all of them. He's telling you these things. How? By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Verse 11, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. This is primary language. Spirit to Spirit. We need to know this. We need to be a people of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, not just in name, but in practice. Verse 12, and we've received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Unlike the world, we have received God's Spirit. Why? So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. His Spirit is going to talk to us. Amen. He leads us, guides us, corrects us. Do you realize the Holy Spirit in you convinces you of your righteous identity? He convinces you. He teaches you the truth. He empowers us for ministry. I don't want to do any ministry apart from the Holy Spirit. Paul is not recorded in the New Testament that he said, wait, don't you boys run out there and do any ministry until the Holy Spirit comes and endues you with power to carry on my ministry. See, the Holy Spirit is our direct line to get information from our Father. You don't have to be in the dark about big decisions in life. Why? Because you are directly connected to God by the Spirit. We need to be familiar with the Spirit. We need to know the language of God. When you have Donna signing, how many of you know people who are deaf and hearing impaired have their own language? If you want to know what they're saying, you got to learn the language. And as Christians, we cannot be just Spirit in name. We must know his language. And he speaks Spirit. His primary language, not Greek, Hebrew, or English. His primary language is Spirit. And so the church emphasizes here, life by the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Life through the Spirit. Bless you. Here it is right here for you. God's primary language is Spirit, not Greek or English. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. Well, that's a stout statement. As a born-again child of God, you have a receiver in your spirit that's a direct line to God who is Spirit. Remember, and you can write this down, I call it the bat phone. You can pick up the red phone, Spirit to Spirit, and commune with God. That's your birthright as a child of God, is to hear God's voice, because you're born again by his Spirit. God is Spirit. He begets children of his by the Spirit. Okay, so you weren't saved by the cross. You were saved when you received the gift of God's Spirit internally. The cross is what cleansed humanity to allow the Spirit of God to return to the heart of man. God always has wanted to dwell inside this original temple. All the other temples you read about, Old Testament, temporary housing. Until Christ comes, the cross didn't save you. It opened the door for you to be saved. Right? Whosoever will receive his Spirit. So as a result, we have a direct line of communication with our Father. This is important. The difference between you and a lost person is not that you go to church. There's a lot of people go to church that don't know Jesus. Come on. There's a lot of people who go to church that don't have the direct line of the Spirit of God. The difference between you and a lost person is not that you read the Bible and they don't. There's a lot of people who read the Bible, don't know Christ. There's a lot of people who read the Bible and use it to slay people. Why? Because the law of the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life to the letter. The difference is you have a personal relationship with the living God, spirit to spirit. That's the difference. You're born again, born of His Spirit. Those who've not received Christ are not. Galatians 2:20, no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, as me, and now through me. That's the difference. Isn't it interesting that in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is preaching a sermon before they stone him, in verse 51, it says this, quote, Acts 7:51, "You are uncircumcised," he said, "in your heart and in your ears." Circumcised ears. Because you refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. So when we're born again, we get circumcised ears. We actually now can hear spirit to spirit. God can coach us up in all the things he's freely given us. As Corinthians says. So we have a natural ear, but we need a spiritual ear to be able to hear and know God. America has a primary language, which is English. God has a primary language, which is spirit. I do ask that you write this down because this is important. We have to know the language of the kingdom we reside in. We must know the language of the kingdom we reside in. And the kingdom we reside in is a spiritual kingdom. Remember in John 18, Pilate's interviewing Jesus. He says, "My kingdom is not of earthly origin. It's a spiritual kingdom." As we'll see in this series as we go, he gets his word to us in a variety of ways, but his primary language is the Spirit. John 4:24, "God is Spirit, and whoever worships him does so in spirit and in truth." 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "The Lord is the Spirit." The Lord is the Spirit. I thought Jesus was Lord. He is. And He lords you by the Spirit. So God desires us to be a people of His Spirit. Not just in name, but in practice, as I mentioned. And there's an anointing present in 2018 to make that decision. There's an unction present. You make this decision. I want to be a person of the Spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. Now I want to walk by the Spirit. I want to hear by the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be a person of the Spirit. I don't want to be dominated by natural people and things going on all around me. The world can't conquer a heart that's already conquered. Let the Spirit of God conquer your heart. Let Him own your allegiance, and then everything else looks strangely dim. It doesn't look near as big, in other words. All right, one more. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. We've talked about the still small voice. We've talked about the Holy Spirit individually with you. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit corporately leading a church. How many of you think that's a good idea? I want to be part of a church that the Holy Spirit is in charge, that He's leading. If He birthed the church in the book of Acts, I figure He can run it. I figure He can manage it. Don't you think the church has been in the hands of committees and men and all this stuff for too long? Yes. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10, New Living Translation. "Paul and Silas traveled through the area of," anybody want to take a crack at that? Phrygia. Thank you so much. "And Galatia, because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in Asia at that time." Did you see that? The Holy Spirit forbid them from what? Preaching the word. How about that? My guess is wasn't safer than there, wasn't time. Whatever the bottom line is, I want you to see the Holy Spirit is in charge of the missional ministry of the church. He is directing the mission work, not men. And then verse 7, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of, Rick? Bithynia. I'm going to keep you around, Rick. I appreciate it. Elder Rick. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Isn't that interesting? Holy Spirit, one verse, next verse, Spirit of Jesus. One and the same. Remember John 14, 18? I won't leave you fatherless. I'm coming to you. When the Spirit came in power in the upper room, the Spirit of Christ, the same Spirit that had raised him from the dead, came in power. Verse 8, so instead, listen, they're actually listening to him. Instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. Everybody say a vision. Can God get his word to you through dreams and visions? Absolutely can. We need to know. He's got all these ways of speaking to us. We're going to live by every word that he supplies and proceeds out of his mouth. We need to know the various ways he's communicating. We got to know the language of the kingdom we belong to. Woo, hallelujah. Man, I'm tired of just carnality in the church. I'm tired of just doing our own thing and hoping God likes it. Somehow we're going to get a reward up in heaven when we're all dead. Well, I'll tell you, Christ is my reward. When I get to heaven, I don't care about crowns. I don't care about any of that. I want to see him. I want to see him. Yeah. And any crowns I do get, I'm giving them to him. Laying them at his feet. Come on, amen. I'm telling you, we have an opportunity as a church family, as in a church and a church body, if we'll be serious and fully committed in our loyalty and our love to Christ on a daily basis, we can really, really make a difference. We can change this entire area. We can. We have relationship with other pastors and other churches. We have good, what's the word, reputation with them. We're not out to steal people. We're not out to hurt anybody. We want Jesus to be famous. And long after we're gone, as long as this region knows who Jesus is, we did what we were sent here to do. Amen. Whether Grace Church is here or not. Yeah, we have an opportunity. Touch your neighbor and say, we have an opportunity. And we're going to have to work together. We're going to have to come together. We cannot be strangers every week. Let's start learning each other's names. Amen. I may bring a name tag and just make my own name tag so you know my name. We used to have name tags. Remember that, Paul? I do. But my point in all that is we need to know each other. We need to be family. This is not, you know, country club or check your, you know, what's that thing you do at work? Your time card. You're not checking a time card click that I went to church today. This is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of God we're a part of. We're made by him and for him. Clearly our purpose individually and collectively has to lie with Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, he's the greatest thing I have ever found. I'll give my life to knowing him. I will. And they tell us, well, you can't preach Jesus or we'll take your tax exemption away. Take it. I don't care. I don't care one bit. Somebody ought to praise God for that. Take it. So Paul has a vision and a man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come to Macedonia and help us. Look at verse 10. So we decided to leave for Macedonia. Wow. Man doesn't live by his own plans, does he? Man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. He's not ordering our steps if we're not listening. If we're not engaged every day. Jesus did not die for us. He did not sweat drops of blood. So he could have our love and loyalty for an hour on Sunday. That is not what he came and died for. Amen. So we're going to Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. I love that. Who's leading the early church's missional direction? Who's doing it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is. Twice they try to go preach. The Spirit forbids them. Wow. There's a human side, like I said, to their planning and thinking, but it's the leading of the Spirit that is how they're making their decisions. Children of God, church of God, men of God, women of God are to be led by the Spirit of God. And like I said, not just in name, but in practice. Throughout Acts, the Spirit of God is portrayed as actively leading God's people every day of the week, not just on weekends. Jeremy, you guys can come. Come rescue me. Throughout Acts, and I believe some say, well, it's, you know, the title of Acts is Acts of the Apostles. I think it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. That's what I think. So throughout Acts, the Spirit of God is actively leading God's people every day of the week, not just on weekends. What we don't want to happen, and please, if you're an intercessor, I beg you, write this down. What we don't want to happen is have a whole lot of church going on in eastern Oklahoma County, but very little Spirit-led living. You can have a lot of church going on and very little dominion. We're proof of it. In the United States, I don't see Christ ruling and reigning by His Spirit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the fullness that He desires in this nation. I promise you, I don't see it. So we can have a lot of church going on with very little Spirit-led living and power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Right. That's what, you know, how long has this been stirring in our spirit about? I don't want to just play church. I think he said last week, do you want to play church or do you want to take dominion? Remember that word last week. So for a while he's stirred in us. It's not enough to have church. I think what broke my heart this week is when I realized he didn't die so he could have me for an hour on Sunday. He didn't. He loves me way more than that. Just like he loves you more than that. The early church was constantly choosing the supernatural voice of God over their own safety. Even after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, did you know the Bible says they were filled again and again? They were filled again and again. What does that mean? Well, it means they were consistent in their hunger. If you look at Nehemiah, and you read Nehemiah, there's a model present there for transformation, for God's will to be done in a city. Right? Rebuilding the walls that had been burned with fire. Nehemiah was a wine taster. He was not a city rebuilder, you know, or a wall rebuilder. He was a wine taster, but God used him. Why? Because he listened. Come on, amen. What do we see in this model? We see intercessory prayer. That's the first thing. They got a hunger for prayer. Calling out to God and devoting themselves fully to God. And then we see unity and teamwork. People came together for the cause of the kingdom. And then we see hunger for the Word of God. When the Word of God was opened, it was amen and amen. And there was a restoration in Nehemiah of quality word. Everybody say quality word. If the church is not careful, they're going to dilute all the truth out of God's word. You can't dilute the truth. You can't take parts of it and say, man, I think that's socially acceptable. This part, not so much. So there's in Nehemiah, there's a restoration of quality word, undiluted word. But when you administer truth by the Spirit, it's a win-win. Because they know your heart for them. They know the love of God in His Word. Not ultimatums. It's a guideline for living in health. Amen, somebody. So they were consistent. And that's my point. If we'll be consistent in our love and loyalty towards Christ, we can lead this entire region in transformation. People so full of Jesus, we won't even need jails. I believe it can happen. There's precedence. You can Google it on the internet of cities being completely turned around by the presence and rule of Jesus Christ in the hearts of people. Yeah. One of the things we want to avoid is this idea that, well, let me say it like this. The devil doesn't care if we're fired up for an hour on Sunday. Did you know he'll give you that? And then he'll say, I will rule you the rest of the week. I'll give you your fired up Sunday. I'll rule you the rest of the week and I'll set all your priorities for you. No more. No more. No more. We're going to be all in for Christ every day of the week. We're going to let Him dominate and rule our thinking and our priorities. The Lord had talked about last week, the devil doesn't care if it rains one day in the desert. Right? But guess what? If it rains, and then it rains again, and it rains 5 days, and it rains 5 weeks, and it rains every day for 5 months, it's no longer a desert. It's no longer a desert. Lord, start with us. Amen. I'm not praying any prayer for all of them to be changed without Lord changing me. Stand to your feet. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we on board? Come on, are we on board? We are. Lift your hands with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the enduing of power by the Holy Spirit. We commit this entire church, its leadership, its function, its vision, its assignment. We commit it all to you and to your leading. Even as it was in the book of Acts, you have full direction of our missional opportunities. Father, we commit ourselves to you, and we know, Lord, that if it rains every day for 5 straight months in the desert, it's no longer a desert. And we just thank you, Lord, for reigning in every one of our hearts. Knit us together as a family. Take down fear. Take down intimidation. Take down walls, Lord. Remove them in Jesus' name. Remove all barriers in Jesus' name that would keep us distant or fearful from each other. But let us come together as one man to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, again, not for a victory, but from a victory that's already been won. Lord, we pray for this entire region that not one person will pass without hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, and that you would use us in this regard. We pray for other churches. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray that there come a great unity and teamwork, not just in this house, but among the body of Christ in this region, that we can walk together, we can pray together, we can worship together, and declare together that Jesus Christ is Lord of Eastern Oklahoma County. In Jesus' name, come on, give Him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Amen. Listen, if you need...
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.